Good morning, and welcome to University Mennonite Church. As we gather to worship God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Savior, in Jesus' name, would you join me in reading the call to worship, which is found in your bulletin insert? I will read the leader part, and if you would respond with the part written bold. Blessed be the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in God's name, the one who calls us here. Blessed be the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Lord. Since the beginning of the second war in Iraq, we have been lighting this peace lamp. Since that time, this war has not come to an end. The United States has become re-engaged in this war, and several other wars have started. We all know of the evil that exists in our world. In the face of that evil, we light this lamp as an expression of our belief in Jesus who overcomes that evil. We are determined to follow the light which he brought into our world. As we see this light, may we be reminded of the many miracles of love which are performed in Jesus' name. May we be reminded of the innocent joy of children. May we be reminded of deeds of sacrificial service, of healing of body and soul, and of the reconciliation of enemies. Remembering this light, may we live with renewed confidence even in the shadow of death, and may we be light to others. Jeremy Ganand will lead us in our opening hymns.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? Who shall I?
Thank you.
We are very happy to have guests with us and to welcome back those who have been away for a while. If you feel brave enough, would you please introduce yourselves? Or if you're with a host, maybe your host could introduce you. And we have microphones on either side of the sanctuary. Please speak into the mic so everyone can hear you. Do we have any guests here today? Okay, well, welcome to everyone who is here. At this time, we will have our children's message, which will be given by Rick Stehauer. If there are any children present, would you come on forward, please?
All right. Well,
as you guys know, we've been going all around the world looking at things that the Mennonite Mission Network are doing, work that they're doing, and collecting money so that we can support those missions. So today we're going to be talking about work that's being done way over here in Cambodia. So Cambodia is this little yellow place right there. And down on the coast, is, you see that? Lily, can you read that? Sihanoukville? Yeah? So that's where we're going to be talking about today. Now that's a long way from where we are. Way over here. So, do you guys have grandparents that live a ways away from here? Well, you have grandparents that live in Michigan, right? So let's see. If you drive to Michigan, how long does it take? Like forever? Yeah, it does. I go to Michigan too sometimes. It takes like forever to get there. So it's from here to there. See that? See how far it is? That's how far it is on this. That's how far it is on this. That takes forever to go that far, right? So we're going to go from here to Cambodia over here. So that's way over here. Where was it? There it is. There. So it's that far. So it's like five times forever to get there, right? Yeah, you got to go all the way across the Pacific Ocean, all the way to Sihanoukville, and up there, and right here is the same picture. That's what it looks like in Sihanoukville. Kind of nice, huh? So that's the pretty part. But if we look at the next picture, the people we're going to be talking about, the children we're going to talk about, they live in a place more like this, and their parents are fishermen. They make their living fishing in the ocean. And they live actually in a little town on the outside of Sihanoukville called U Vietnam. And that's because there's lots of people from Vietnam. Vietnam's right next door. And then if we look at the next picture, that's kind of what their houses look like there. So it looks a little different than that first picture that was kind of pretty. This is not quite so pretty. And you can see the houses they live in are not quite as, maybe not quite as nice as the houses we live. They're way up on stilts and they're kind of small. And you can see the boats down below that they... Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. They must have ladders or something. I see a ladder right there. So it's hard. And they don't make a lot of money. It's hard for their parents to... Yeah, there's a couple ladders, aren't there? So that's where they live, and they do a lot of fishing. They sell fish. Their parents sell fish, and I'm sure the children help them. Do you guys... do any of you go to school? Yeah? You go to school too? Do you ever think, like, what if maybe, you know, there's not going to be a school there the next time I want to go? You ever think about that? Yeah, we kind of figure there's always going to be a school there, right? You're going to go to grade school, and then you're going to go to junior high, and then you're going to go to high school. You never really think, it's not going to be there. You never really think, what if my parents don't have enough money to send me there? We usually don't even think about that, do we? But if we go to look at the next picture, here are some children. These children are in school in Cambodia. And does this look like your school?
No.
No? What's different? Desks maybe aren't quite as nice, maybe, huh? I don't see any lights. Do you see any computers?
No.
Do you have computers in your school? You do? Huh. Wow. Okay.
Probably
so, no printers. I don't see, this doesn't look a lot of stuff. So, and the last picture, these three girls are actually the girls we wanted to talk about today. And their names are, I won't be able to say them right, but Mae Nguyen, Mae Ngoc, and Mae Huyen. They're three sisters, and they're going to this school that the Mennonite Mission Network runs there, and they can go for free. They don't have to pay, and so even though their parents don't get a lot of money from fishing, they can still go to school. And they can also go on Saturday. How many of you go to school on Saturday? School on Saturday? No? They get to go. They can go to school on Saturday and learn about Jesus on Saturdays. And so that's what we're going to give our money for today, is so that these three sisters can go to school in U Vietnam, right on the coast in Vietnam, or in Cambodia, right next to Vietnam. And they can learn about Jesus. So that's when you put your money in here today. Did anyone bring some money to put in? Here we go. There's some. Oh, nothing in there. All right. Okay, well, next week when you bring it, that's what we can do. And just how much do you think is in here? Quite a bit now, right?
So many.
So, yeah. Yeah, so, usually these three girls' parents, they make about $2 in a day. Yeah, and so they don't have much extra money, but the extra money that we put in here will let their children go to school. All right, so let's stop a minute and say a prayer for these three sisters. You guys want to come over and say a prayer with me? Dear Jesus, we thank you for schools. We thank you for our church where we can learn about Jesus. Thank you that we can help these sisters in Cambodia be able to go to school and learn about you.
Jim and Kathy Pierce will be taking this morning's collection. Would you join me in prayer? Dear God, we thank you for your abundant gifts. As we return a portion of those gifts to you, we ask that you will bless them and use them to bring your kingdom of love and light to our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Terry Yoder and Suzanne Wolf will be reading our scriptures today.
Good morning. If you turn in your pew Bibles to page 537, and then keep a finger on page 919, I'll be starting with the passage on page 537, Ecclesiastes, a very familiar text. For everything there's a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Second passage is Romans 8, 14 to 28, page 919. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words, and God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose.
The 23rd Psalm is one of the most beloved passages in the Bible. It is amazing to me when I read it how many applications on any given day the phrasing might encompass. When I was asked to read this scripture, I was also asked to read from the King James Version. And last week, my father presented to me this Bible with the story that he had been asked by his mother for the gift of a Bible about 70 years ago. And he and my mother gave this Bible to my beloved grandmother. So I will be reading the passage this morning from her Bible. It's one of my most cherished gifts ever. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. Good morning. I want to start by reading the words by Brian Wren to hymn number 637 in Hymnal Worship Book. So you can read along in silence with me, or you can just listen. And if you want to read along, it's number 637 in the blue hymnal. When grief is raw and music goes unheard and thought is numb, we have no polished phrases to recite. You are our Lord. In faith we grasp familiar words. I am the resurrection. I am life. When time gives room for gratitude and tears, Lord, make us free to grieve, remember, honor, and delight. Let love be strong to bear regrets and banish fears. I am the resurrection. I am life. The height and breadth of what your love prepares soar out of time beyond our speculation and our sight. The cross remains to earth the promise that it bears. I am the resurrection. I am life. All shall be judged, the greatest and the least, and all beloved till every hurt is healed, all wrong set right. Sing and be glad. The Lamb prepares his wedding feast, and in the midst of death, we are in life. When I began to think about what to speak on for this sermon, I was deep in the midst of grief over the death of my dog, Samantha, and to a lesser extent at the thought of leaving the trailer park that had been my home for nearly 27 years. My grief at that time was raw, and in some ways it still is. Losing Sam brought back other losses through death of the past year. My brother last January, a close friend in October, an old boyfriend this January, and all of the friends, family members, and animal companions I had lost over the years. Sorting through my possessions as I prepared to move also brought to mind many bittersweet memories of lost loved ones. As I considered all of this, the thought occurred to me that this is one of those times when I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There can be so many meanings and experiences expressed by that famous biblical image, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It is an experience common to all of humanity, and as believers, we get to add the part about how we do not have to fear because God is with us and God comforts us. I love the 23rd Psalm. I memorized it in Sunday school in second grade in the King James Version, and that is why I requested that version be read today. And certainly Suzanne's story about her Bible gift made it extra special. I think a lot of us have a strong connection to this psalm. And those of you over a certain age would have learned it in the King James Version. And even if you didn't, you can appreciate, I hope, the beauty of that translation. Years ago, I did a small group Bible study on the Psalms using a book by Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann that overall I liked very much, but I was not pleased that he dismissed Psalm 23 as overused and sentimental. While in general I prefer the New Testament to the Old Testament, Psalms is my favorite book in the Bible, and Psalm 23 is my favorite psalm. I think it speaks to so many important aspects of our relationship with God. I came across on Facebook a breakdown of Psalm 23 into phrases with descriptions of how God is helping us. Each phrase from Psalm 23 is followed by a phrase containing "that's" and one other word. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake. That's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me, that's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, that's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Forever. That's eternity. Therefore, from this one psalm, we learn that God provides relationship, supply, rest, refreshment, healing, guidance, purpose, testing, protection, faithfulness, discipline, hope, consecration, abundance, blessing, security, and eternity. That's a lot of information about the awesomeness of God for one short psalm of 6 verses, and I think the 23rd psalm deserves its fame. It works well as a funeral scripture. One of the times when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death is when a loved one dies. We also walk through the valley when we fear that our own death is near. We walk through that valley when we experience other forms of loss, a significant relationship, a job, a home, and in any kind of major upheaval in our lives that causes us to lose a sense of peace and security. In the Ecclesiastes passage, with the list of contrasting seasons, we see an expression of how suffering and loss are woven into the very fabric of being. There is a time to break down, a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to lose, a time to die, a time to hate, a time to kill, and a time for war. Just as we also have the more positive opposites. When we are walking through the valley of the shadow, we are often in one or more of those kinds of seasons of pain. When we are experiencing the challenging or negative seasons, we need to remember that they are balanced by times of laughter, dancing, healing, birth, peace, love. We would not appreciate joy without sorrow, health without illness, abundance without scarcity. This is not simply a rationalization, it is a reality. Possibly heaven is all of the positives without the negatives, and we are not bored with that, but always content, but that is not the human earthly condition. Here we need the contrasts of the seasons. I came across another Facebook poem that spoke to this issue, and I am now happy to know that Facebook is not a total waste of time because it provides me with sermon material. No author was given for this. You're so hard on yourself. Take a moment, sit back, marvel at your life, at the grief that softened you, at the heartache that wizened you, at the suffering that strengthened you. Despite everything, you still grow. Be proud. And I liked that. I liked it a lot, but I thought, grief does not always soften. It can harden. Heartache does not always wizen. It can embitter. Suffering does not always strengthen. It can destroy. The choice is ours. Whether or not we believe God micromanages our lives and chooses every challenge that comes into them, it is important that we believe God is present in every challenge and that every challenge can be used for the glory of God and become part of the lifelong process of making us into new creations. Viktor Frankl was a Jewish psychiatrist who spent time in a concentration camp in World War II. In the book Man's Search for Meaning, he wrote that his time in the camp taught him that people could experience the same degree of suffering as far as external circumstances and react very differently. Some people cared only about their own survival and stole from others, while other people were kind and gave to others. Some people lost their faith, while others had their faith strengthened. I know of a couple who lost their 4-year-old to cancer. The wife whose faith had been the stronger lost her faith completely, left her husband, and her life fell apart. The husband's faith grew because he saw God as having been the one to get him through the worst ordeal of his life, the death of his son and the loss of his marriage. And his compassion and strength in general grew from having survived those losses. We always have a choice. I have included the Romans 8 passage because it speaks to suffering in the context of being part of the family of God. We are children of God, and we can call God Abba Father, a term of familiarity and intimacy. And being part of the family of God, we share in the suffering of Christ. If we follow the way of Jesus, suffering is inevitable. But no matter how bad the suffering is, it does not compare to the glory that will be revealed in eternity. Sometimes there is condemnation of thinking in terms of eternal life while diminishing the importance of the here and now. I think that is one reason Marx called religion the opiate of the people, because we sometimes allow injustice while placating people with promises that someday there will be a better place when all is well. However, looking forward to the coming glory of eternity in the direct presence of God does not mean that we do not do everything we can now to end the injustice and inequality that caused so much suffering. But it is rather a recognition that being part of the family of God means both that we will suffer as Jesus suffered, and we will one day come to a time that is past all suffering because of what Jesus did for us. Suffering, grief, and loss are universal experiences. That is one of the reasons I do not find it helpful to think in terms of how some groups are more privileged than others, as in white privilege, male privilege, heterosexual privilege, wealth privilege, and more. While it is always good to strive for equality of opportunity, we are never going to have equality of outcome. And when we look at the groups that are considered to be privileged, there is no way we can see them as lacking in suffering. This is expressed well in the words to the Simon and Garfunkel song, Richard Cory, from the 60s, written by Paul Simon. They say that Richard Cory owns one half of this whole town, with political connections to spread his wealth around. Born into society, a banker's only child, he had everything a man could want, power, grace, and style. But I work in his factory, and I curse the life I'm living, and I curse my poverty. And I wish that I could be, oh, I wish that I could be, oh, I wish that I could be Richard Cory. The papers print his picture almost everywhere he goes, Richard Cory at the opera, Richard Cory at a show, and the rumor of his parties and the orgies on his yacht, oh, he surely must be happy with everything he's got. He freely gave to charity, he had the common touch, and they were grateful for his patronage, and they thanked him very much. So my mind was filled with wonder when the evening headlines read, Richard Cory went home last night and put a bullet through his head. Was his rich white male privilege relevant when he decided to take his own life? It's true that we do not seem to suffer equally. However, no one can know the inner state of another, and especially not those whom we do not even know personally. Yet we still make many assumptions about how some people have it much better off than others. Instead of thinking in terms of privilege, I think it's more helpful to think in terms of blessing. If people do not judge us negatively because of our race, we are blessed. If people do not think we need to be limited in what we can do because of our sex, we are blessed. People are not uncomfortable in condemning because of whom we love, we are blessed. We have abundance and do not need to worry about meeting basic needs, we are blessed. If we are not in the midst of grieving or experiencing loss and great suffering, we are blessed. But many of us do experience these challenges because of category, and many of us are close to an experience of loss and suffering. And we are then blessed also because God is with us. In the Luke version of the Beatitudes, Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 23, it says, Then he looked up at his disciples and said, Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. In the kingdom of God, society's system of privilege is not relevant. I had a therapist once who did a lot of work with people from abusive and very troubled childhoods, and she emphasized how much we learn and grow in surviving those kinds of challenges. She did so herself. But she also pointed out that she did everything she could to give her own daughter the best possible kind of environment, the total opposite. And she hoped that her daughter would turn out strong as well from that kind of environment. Each experience of suffering builds compassion and empathy so that when we meet others who have experienced similar kinds of suffering, we can understand and we can help. We always try to strive for justice and peace and treating everyone equally and living the golden rule. But even as we see obvious examples of inequality and injustice, we know that we all suffer. We all grieve. We all experience loss. That is our common humanity. Does it hurt any less when a rich white heterosexual male loses the love of his life than when a poor black lesbian does? There is no privilege when it comes to suffering and loss. In the Sermon on the Mount, after Jesus has told us to love our enemies, he comments that God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Whatever race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, and class someone is, or whether that person is a friend or an enemy, each person is our fellow sufferer. Each person has known grief and loss, and in that we are all united. And the quest for equality and justice itself can be the cause of suffering and loss. Nelson Mandela said, "There is no easy walk to freedom anywhere, and many of us will have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death again and again before we reach the mountaintop of our desires." In his own life and in the lives of all who fought for an end to apartheid and racial justice in South Africa, there was much suffering. The final verse of the Romans passage we looked at today, verse 28, says, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." Sometimes people just say part of it, all things work together for good, and it seems so impossible. Even with the whole verse, including for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, it's hard to see how all things work together for good. Many things are not good or often quite evil, and how can they be part of what is working together for good? Some things that come to mind in that category are murder, rape, slavery, sexual abuse of children, violence, war, racism, prejudice and discrimination of all kinds, and the accidents, diseases, and deliberate violence that take our loved ones from us too soon. The examples are sadly endless, but in the midst of each kind of suffering and loss, God is there. God is comforting and sustaining, and God is helping us to find the good in the bigger picture. It's important to remember that in order for there to be a shadow, there has to be a light. There are no shadows in pitch darkness. Although Psalm 23 comes from the Old Testament, it foreshadows Jesus, whom we often refer to as the Good Shepherd. He is also the light of the world. So if we are in the valley of the shadow and it's dark and gloomy, and we have experienced the death of one we love or some other grievous loss, and we are suffering and hurting and afraid, we can at any point turn to the light, to God as manifest most strongly in Jesus, and we can find comfort. God transforms and makes new all the kinds of brokenness and loss that we experience. God is with us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and God's steadfast love endures forever. I want to close with my own version of the 23rd Psalm that I often pray. It is a combination of several translations, and is entirely in the second person, addressing God. "Lord, you are my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside the still waters. You restore my soul. You lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house, O Lord, forever. Amen."
And I guess if you like it, let's be standing. We sound so much better. Thank you.
In the cross of Christ, thy glory.
There are a number of announcements that are listed in our bulletin. Are there any that need to be highlighted? Again, there'll be microphones if you need. Any announcements? Okay.
I just wanted to bring your attention to the announcement in the bulletin, and that I've sent out the email several times about filling out the forms for what you want to volunteer for in the coming church year. So I've gotten a lot of responses, but a lot of people still need to get them to me. So there are forms in the lobby, or you can email me with what you want to do. And if you want to nominate someone else, ask their permission first. And so let's get a move on with that, those of you who have not finished. And I also want to mention that following the service, we will have an adult Sunday school discussion of the sermon in the sanctuary.
Kathleen Stay-Hauer, could I ask that the members of the leadership team meet very briefly right after the service in the front? Anybody who can be there? Thanks.
Hi, I'm going to be really concise. So if you like the cool stuff that Eric and Jesse have been doing, there's an open house today from 2 to 4 at the place that you should talk to him about, wherever the food center is, because it's going to be cool, I bet. Right? What? And he's going to come in and explain it. And then while he's walking, I'm going to tell you that if you support economic justice and the efforts with the grad students trying to unionize, they're having a May Day picnic from noon to 1:30, and I think it's going to be at the Hub because it's raining. So people that have been more actively involved with it than I have done all this really cool stuff of getting, and I think Jesse actually helped to get access to some food. So I'm sure that the grad students that have been in the thick of it would appreciate anyone that wanted to show their support from the community. And
yeah, so it's 2 to 4 today at the Old Gregg School and Community Center in Spring Mills. It's right off of 45. And there will be food there from Taproot Kitchen, which is a wonderful group that's working with young adults that have mental and intellectual disabilities. And a neat connection is they are working out of the basement of our old church home, and it's been wonderful to get to know them and to be back in that building and to see it being used for more really awesome things. So you're welcome to attend that today.
Karen will share a benediction with us, and that will be followed by our sending song, number 67, in Sing the Journey.
May the Good Shepherd Jesus bring us comfort and strength as we walk through the valley of the shadow, and may we in turn bring love and comfort to those who are struggling with loss along the way. Let us rejoice and be glad that God is always present in the midst of our suffering, providing comfort and turning our mourning into dancing. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and one another.
Let's see. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Let there be light.
Let there be light.